AgriTalk is brought to you by Full Scale from Helena. Grow strong returns this season with breakthrough foliar nutrition from Full Scale at Reproduction. And by propane. Propane is the energy for everyone, especially farmers. Environmentally friendly propane can fuel most anything on the farm. See how at propane.com. Buyers found their way back to the corn and soybean markets, but wheat sellers stayed in control of those markets. Another afternoon failure in the live cattle market sent prices lower on the day, and lean hog price trends seem to have accelerated to the downside. Oh, and the Fed held monetary policy steady, and stocks loved it.
Live in like an ill-tempered lamb via Farm Journal Studios, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, it's a conversation with Duane Bussey from Bolt Marketing. Directly following the news, Todd Bubba Horwitz from BubbaTrading.com. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now the host of AgriTalk, Jeff Flory.
Isn't that March?
It's in like an ill-tempered lamb.
Isn't it March that's in like a lamb, out like a lion?
No, the schedules are different this year. It's all different.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I thought maybe this was some sort of a basket day.
No, this is the new normal, Chip.
Really?
Yes. And okay. You know, you'll notice coming up in June too, there's going to be a holiday in the middle of the week. Okay.
Just out of the middle of nowhere.
Take a day off, everybody.
I got you. You know how many people do you know that celebrate May Day with May baskets?
Apparently none. There were no baskets on my door. Yeah. How about you?
Our neighbor lady. When the kids were small out here, I mean, there weren't many neighbors. We don't have many neighbors. Mm-hmm. But the neighbor lady always made the kids a May Day basket and brought it down to them. Had some candy in it, some of this other stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe a baby rabbit or something like that.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, thanks, neighbors.
Yeah, it was great. Thanks. Appreciate that. But I don't know anybody else that celebrates May Day with a May Day basket. Strange. Happy May Day, everybody. I'm your host, Jeff Flory. That is Davis Michelson.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We've got Duane Bussey coming up. I wonder if he does anything with May baskets.
He may. I don't know. He doesn't seem like quite the type. He's a busy man. He's got bigger things to think about.
He certainly is. He
can't be fiddling around with pipe cleaners and Dixie cups.
Right.
Not Duane.
You got it.
Yeah. I got it.
Listen, you're describing these May baskets like you were looking right at them.
I am in my mind, Chip, and it makes me warm inside.
Well, it could. You might just be tapping into my part of the brain that is seeing them.
I'm loving this. This is great.
Love it.
We're going to come back to this a little later. Yeah.
Okay. Great. We're looking forward to the conversation with Bubba. Looking forward to the conversation with Duane. Let's get to the news.
Chip, July soft red winter wheat futures posted an outside trading day, but prices did recover to close above support at yesterday's low. July hard red futures opened slightly lower and tried to trade higher, but quickly fell through and then closed below support at yesterday's low. Chances for rain in the driest areas of the HRW belt brought sellers back into the wheat markets. Forecasters are also calling for rains in the Canadian prairies. July SRW wheat futures are finding support at the 10-day moving average. The 597.5 July HRW wheat futures, 10.25 cents lower at 625. July SRW wheat down 4 cents to 599.25. July spring wheat closed at 702.25, down 2 cents, 5 handle on the July SRW, Chip.
Yeah, absolutely. And trying to just sort things out after the big rally that we had last week. Still trying to sort things out.
Ethanol production weekend at April 26 averaged 987,000 barrels per day. That's up 33,000 from the previous week and 1.1% ahead of the same week last year. Ethanol stocks declined to 245,000 barrels to a still comfortable 25.488 million barrels. The Treasury Department's final rule on the GREET model got a mixed review, although the National Corn Growers expressed disappointment due to the model's restrictive nature. July corn futures posted an inside reversal and closed back on top of 450 to rebuild upside momentum heading into the end of the week. July corn futures 4 cents higher today, 450 3/4. September corn up 3 1/4 to 459. December corn futures close at 472 3/4, up 3 1/4 cents. Chip?
I think it might just be me, but I would call the GREET model bad news for the corn market, and the market refused to go down on it, went to the upside. This could be the start of some short covering in here.
Well, sellers came back to the soybean meal market after Argentina's oilseed crush workers lifted a two-day strike. Traders are also watching southern Brazil, where heavy rains and floods are threatening unharvested beans. And there is a chance for frost in Argentina, Chip, at the end of this week, which could bring an early end of the growing season for a small percentage of the bean crop there. July beans opened to lower, spiked support at yesterday's low, then recovered to close near session highs. July beans today, 7 1/4 cents higher at 11.70 1/4. August beans up 6 1/4, 11.71 3/4. November beans closed at 11.65. That's up 5.5 today, Chip.
Yeah, the South American news in there, that's looking for a reason for prices to move around. We had July soybean meal down $2.90. We had July bean oil up 25 points today. It was a spreader's market today.
Technical selling pernicious in cotton futures. July cotton today was 192 points lower, 76.51. On your livestocks, June fat cattle futures opened higher and spiked resistance at yesterday's high, but did not fill yesterday's downside price gap, then flushed through support at yesterday's low. June live cattle 112.5 lower, 173.85. October futures down $2.20 to 174.85. And August feeder futures $3.75 lower, 251.75. On your hogs, the downturn in hog prices accelerated today with June futures at the lowest close since March 22nd. June hogs today were $2.05 lower at $100.42.5. The October contract down $1.20, $84.40. Chip.
All right. Thank you very much, Davis. Let's bring in Todd Horowitz, BubbaTrading.com. How you doing, Bubba?
I'm doing great, Chip. How are you? How are you, Davis? What's going on, fellas?
Listen to you. We got the Dow 450 points right now. Things seem to be pretty good.
What a joke. Well, how many times? What was the over and under, and how many times that jackass would use totality today? That's what I want to know.
Oh, so you,
I mean,
are you kidding me?
You
did see the Powell press
I haven't watched it in years. I watched it today because I wanted to be prepared and I wanted to come out fighting because I can't stand the lion BS that we get from these guys every time they speak. They talk in circles, they talk around, and they don't do anything. Okay, and there's going to be a rate. There cannot be cuts. I don't care what they ask. I don't care about the question they ask. There is no rate cuts coming. There is more likely a rate hike coming, but he won't say it because he doesn't want to upset the markets right now.
Yeah. Okay. Bubba, thank you for saying that, because there was the one question, and I had to turn it off so that I could do the show, but they were asking the question that I would ask right at the very end, and it was, if you're going to get inflation down to the level that you want it, you're going to have to take interest rates higher, not lower. What did he say to that?
He said, well, no, there's no real plan, and we can't really predict that, and we're not in a hurry to get to the 2% yet. We're going to get there, but we don't know when. And I'm going to die. I don't know when, but, you know, everything's going to be when. I don't know when. It's the same thing. You know, when are you going to be home, son? I don't know.
I don't know when.
Well, whenever.
Yeah.
I mean, it's laughable listening to these people. And of course, listen, the markets are taking off, but they were – everything set up for a big rally today just because of the very oversold conditions we had yesterday. So where are we? We're back to where we were yesterday. So let's see where it really goes. I think they're going low. I hear my music. Thanks, guys. Have a great day. Have a great week. Thank you so much.
Outstanding. Thank you, buddy. That is Todd Horowitz, BubbaTrading.com. Wow. He came right out the chute there, didn't he?
Absolutely. And I'm going to open that chute back up a week from today.
Yeah, for the whole show. For the whole PM show a week from today. Dwayne
Bussey,
Bolt Marketing, up next.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
From powering irrigation engines to warming buildings, propane has always been a part of American farm life. Now, you can be a part of propane's future and save money at the same time. The Propane Farm Incentive Program is a research initiative that provides farmers up to $5,000 towards the purchase of new propane-powered equipment. In exchange, participants share performance data to make tomorrow's ag operations more cost-effective, more efficient, and more environmentally friendly with propane. Getting started is simple. Visit propane.com/farm incentive to see if you're eligible.
And the cats in the cradle and the silver spoon. Little boy blue and the man on the moon.
I got it.
When you're coming home, son, I don't know when.
Something went wrong. Something went terribly, terribly wrong. You know we'll
I don't know.
I'm guessing.
It's
that,
a joyous twist of fate, apparently.
I'm guessing, evidently that
this
Joe
March
hit some
looking,
sort of an emergency button.
It may be. This new March is looking better and better all the time.
Yeah. I'm kind of liking the... You know, actually, the weather in March was probably better than what it's been in May so far.
It may be. Yeah, I would agree with that.
Not much of a sample of May weather, but...
I think we've seen all we need.
We've seen all we need to see. Love it. All right, let's bring in Dwayne Bussey, Bolt Marketing up in Britton, South Dakota. Dwayne, how you doing, man?
Hey, I'm doing good. How about you, Chip?
Good. Let's start here. Put the farmer hat on for just a moment. How's things looking up your way?
It was looking really good. We had a pretty open winter. We were just in the northeast part of South Dakota. We were a little wet in the fall. I couldn't quite work everything. I had some ducks still flying around. And we just got enough rain, just like everyone else here lately, that got some ponding issues sitting out there now. I mean, it's early, but up here in the Prairie Pothole region, it does take quite a bit of time for it to get away. I mean, after all, we've been below 40 degrees the last couple of nights, so we're not really crazy warm up here. But I mean, like for North Dakota, things look ready to go. I mean, it's just, we just need to warm up a little bit.
Okay. All right. What's the soil moisture situation? I mean, is it excessive? Or do we need to talk about that?
It not on a scale that actually will matter to the market. Excessive as far as my farm, which is, you know, for every farmer, that makes it feel like the whole nation is the same way, but that's not the case. No, we've got some water standing in spots that, yeah, we're pretty saturated. My sump pumps are running pretty good. I really need to go mow the lawn after this before it gets out of hand. But you get like in a North Dakota, Chip, and actually crazy open. And you know, when you talk prevent plant or delayed planting, that's really a key state because of they just got a shorter growing season. And they hit spring wheat really hard before this rain, and you know, give them a couple days of sun and they'll be able to get going up there no problem again.
Okay. I don't know if what you are saying, the words that you're speaking right now, really fits with some of the conversation that was happening in the grain markets today. I think they want to start talking about serious planting delays and to prevent plant, Dwayne.
I'm all for it if they want to. Whatever makes them go higher, Chip, they can talk about it all they want. It, you know, the market, I heard you in the intro, and I really like what you said, that corn kind of shook off the, what I'm agreeing with you is negative news on the Crete news yesterday or the biofuel news, and closed 4 cents higher today. I think a lot of it's short covering from managed funds and maybe some money flow. Like Bubba said, the equity markets might be in trouble and heading lower. And if that's the case, maybe we get money flowing into commodities.
Yeah. Boy, we've been waiting for that to happen for 18 months. Right?
Well, and if I keep predicting it, sometime I'll probably be right.
Well, I'm just thinking through the whole process here and where we are in this cycle of money movement. And it does seem, and I've said this before on the show, but it does seem that, as a matter of fact, I said this yesterday, either the funds are doggone stubborn or they are really, really comfortable on the short side of the market. One or the other, and I'm not sure which it is, Dwayne.
I'm not sure either. And I mean, we'll find out later in the year when we get to the end of the year. And you and I aren't here saying that the funds are going to exit all short positions and go long corn here in a week or two, because that story really isn't out there right now. I guess if it keeps raining in key I states and we can't get the rest of the crop planted, well, then there's a story. But I keep thinking that the sun will come out eventually, sometime in May. But no, maybe they liquidate half of their shorts. And I mean, that right there is a decent rally. The problem is once we get it planted, farmers will be willing sellers too of the old crop they're still hanging on to.
That's true. That's very true. Very true. You know, the conversation about prevent plant, it's not just a Northwest conversation this year. And I think that's where a lot of the feeling is, that's where we can run into a lot of prevent plant acres. But when you look at the most recent examples of years that we had with some big prevent plant totals, the Eastern Belt participated in that just as much as the Western Belt, didn't it?
You know, it kind of did. When I was doing some research and looking at that, it kind of surprised me, because where I'm at, you know, it just feels like North Dakota, South Dakota, that's, we've got all the prevent plant. But back in 19, it was an Eastern Corn Belt. I think Illinois had 1.5 million. Missouri had 1.4 million of prevent plant that year. Yeah. So, I mean, it's happened before. It would just be so typical of our weather to go from talking drought all winter long in Iowa and Missouri to talk about prevent plant. But I will say too, in key years like 19 and 20, one of the two Dakotas, either my state of South Dakota or North Dakota, ended up with like 3 or 4 million acres of prevent plant. So if you probably need one of those two states to participate big time to really have a high prevent plant number. And I'm still shaking my head about the total principal crop acres. To me, to get down as low as what USDA has us at, we need a lot of prevent plant acres this year. And if, I don't know, maybe they can forecast the weather. So we'll see.
Maybe that's exactly what they did. I don't think that's what they were thinking about. I don't know exactly what they were thinking about when we got those principal crop acres as low as they were. You know, I say that, but all you got to do is go back to 2022 and you can find a year with fewer principal crop acres. Now, we were down 6.3 from 2023 on the planting intentions, but, you know, 2022, we were missing a bunch of acres out there too, weren't we?
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, for me, it's kind of been a battle, kind of a struggle report anyway, and I shouldn't put a whole lot into the March planting intentions report anyway, because it is a tough guess. But I guess just knowing where we're at and the low number they came out with for corn acres, I'm feeling and recommending to our producers that let's be aggressive selling new crop corn before June 30th, because I just want to say that there's a possibility of having more acres then.
Yeah. So acres, yield, it all matters at this time of the year. But we're spending all of our time talking about supply side stuff here, Duane. What about the demand side? Can something on the demand side of the corn market change enough to ignite or inspire that short covering that we were talking about?
Well, yeah. I mean, export demand has been great for corn, really. Can it be large enough to move the market? It's probably going to have to take even better numbers than what we've had recently for a longer period of time than our normal window. But I see tomorrow's export estimates are high again. If we could get that old crop ending stock below 2.0 billion, then I think you got a story where maybe those managed funds don't want to be short. So if you can have that story mixed with either delayed planting or maybe we get hot and dry later, which, remember, you're only 2 weeks away from a drought ever, is what they tell me. It's in Mike's place. But then you could get a case where the funds don't want to be short and maybe want to go long a little bit. So we got a lot of growing season ahead of us, I guess, is my point.
Yeah. Yep. That's right. And then you toss in a little bit of, not a little bit, it's turned into more than a little bit of an issue with the Argentine corn crop and that stunt disease. They've whittled away at that corn crop, and that could turn into a little bit of extra demand for us. That would sure be beneficial. So when you're looking at this corn market, what do you want to see it do to, you know, to build on today's momentum? What would make you feel good going into the end of the week?
Yeah, well, the next resistance is kind of that 461 area in July corn, which is also where the 100-day moving average is creeping down to. I don't think we can close above that this week. But boy, if we could, I'll feel really good about the market. And then honestly, Chip, what made me feel good the last week is the commitment of traders report, seeing that those funds are short covering. What was it, 41,000 contracts they bought back last week. I can talk to them blue in the face and about what I think the market should do, but really what matters is what the funds think and what they're doing. And if they want out of those shorts for whatever reason, maybe they're just bored with the market, because I kind of understand that too. You know, that would be enough to drive us up to that 475 resistance. But you get about 460, I'm going to be a seller of any old crop that's left out there too.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt. Well, we learned what can happen from the wheat market in a very short period of time once the process gets started in there. So something that we've got to watch for. Okay, when we come back, we're going to talk about some risk management strategies. And the cattle market. We need to talk about what's happening in cattle with Dwayne Bussey from Bolt Marketing right here on AgriTalk.
Let's go to the markets page at ProFarmer.com and check today's closes. For July, HRW wheat futures were 10 and one quarter cents lower at 625. July SRW wheat down 4 cents to 599 and one quarter. July corn futures 4 cents higher at 450 and three quarters. December corn futures closed at 472 and three quarters, up 3¼ cents today. July soybean futures 7¼ cents higher at 1170 and one quarter. November beans closed at 1165, that's up 5½ today. July cotton 192 points lower, 76.51. On the livestocks, June fat cattle 112 and one half lower at 173.85. August feeders 375 lower, 251.75. And June lean hogs today $2.05 lower, $100.42.5. Get more market news every market day. Just visit tryprofarmer.com.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
From powering irrigation engines to warming buildings, propane has always been a part of American farm life. Now, you can be a part of propane's future and save money at the same time. The Propane Farm Incentive Program is a research initiative that provides farmers up to $5,000 towards the purchase of new propane-powered equipment. In exchange, participants share performance data to make tomorrow's ag operations more cost-effective, more efficient, and more environmentally friendly with propane. Getting started is simple. Visit propane.com/farmincentive to see if you're eligible.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. Our name says it all. AgriTalk. What more do you need to know?
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. We are in the middle of a conversation with Dwayne Bussey, Bolt Marketing up in Britton, South Dakota. Dwayne, let's go through a couple of those same issues that we went through on corn. Let's go through it on soybeans, because we're the crush data that we're getting, it seems all very positive. The export data that we're getting, it's not all that great. Is one offsetting the other when we look at the demand side of the bean table?
Yeah, I'm afraid so a little bit. You're right. I mean, the crush data has been phenomenal. I mean, 4 to 5% higher year over year. I mean, that's demand growth we want to see. The problem is, like you said, the exports have been disappointing a little bit, and China is just stubbornly wants to buy soybeans from anyone other than us. But I mean, Brazil's cheaper until we get through July, so I understand that, I guess, as well. So yeah, they kind of offset. The only bad thing about soybeans is the old crop ending stock is actually increasing ever so slightly as we move forward, where on corn, it's been decreasing, hasn't it, because of the mm-hmm. better export demand. But our stocks use ratio is still fairly tight, old crop beans. So I'm a little bit more friendly new crop beans than the market is showing us, because I just think, well, what if we lose 1 million acres of soybeans or something, and then, you know, have a La Nina drought scare in August, that that tighter stocks use ratio for old crop carries into new crop, and all of a sudden wheat still could be in a tight situation. Boy, I sound like a farmer hoping for higher prices here, don't I?
Well, I tell you, as you were talking there, I was thinking to myself, if that happens, people will call it a bailout for the bulls. If that happens, people will call, you know, they love to call mm-hmm. it a bailout. It's never a bailout. That's how I look at it. It is a legitimate risk to the market at this point. You could lose 1 million acres of beans. If that happens, it changes the dynamics of the bean market. It is a legitimate risk in the market right now. It's something that you got to pay attention to, Duane.
Well, Chip, there's risk to these crush plants that have just expanded.
Yeah.
That's the risk you're talking about. I mean, they have risk if this crop, we don't produce what we're anticipated for now. And, you know, it's early in the year. We always, you know, all the acres get planted, trend line yield, you know, and then guess what? Mother Nature happens. So, no, I love what you said. There's risk there to the upside, too.
Yeah, yeah. You know, the first year, when those crush plants are all up and running, and call it 2 years from now, most of those rail locations, I doubt if they've got a dump for those hopper cars. It's probably just hopper loaders that are at those elevators on the rail lines. But if it gets to the point that you guys don't grow a bean crop up there, you're going to be bringing beans in from everywhere to satisfy those needs.
It is amazing. In my neck of the woods, northeast South Dakota, we've got a crush plant in Aberdeen, South Dakota, and then we also have one up in Spiritwood, North Dakota.
Spiritwood.
5 years ago, every single bean we produced in this area went out to the PNW, got exported to China. So, you know, yeah. We've had a wide basis, and then if China wants them, we'd narrow it up, and then we'd get really wide again in the summer. Now, there's not a single bean around me that goes to China anymore.
Right.
That's already, Chip. So,
right.
And we're talking more crush plants. So our basis has changed here, and our dynamic as a farm has kind of changed. Like, everyone always uses to take beans to town right away and sell to generate cash that way. Yeah. I think we got to start storing our beans in the Dakotas to try to capture carry for these crush plants in July or something.
Well, I mean, the way that the corn market, cash corn market developed in ethanol country, you know, heavy ethanol country, yeah, forever and a day, I called it the ethanol carry, because the ethanol plants were more than willing to pay mm-hmm. you to store that corn until they needed it. They didn't want anything to do with the physical. Those crush mm-hmm. plants up there are going to be willing to pay for storage on farm through a carry bid in the cash market. I don't know how else they're going to operate. So,
no, I agree. Well, then mix in one of those 2019 or 2020 years where we have a lot of prevent plant again, then you're right, we'll actually be importing beans in here, which just blows my mind. Now, what we do with all the meal up here, I'm not totally sure. Like you said, maybe that's what goes out in rail, I guess, moving forward.
Right, right, absolutely. It's still, 18 months away, but they are expanding the ability to export soybean meal out of the PNW. So the steps are being taken. The steps are being taken to prepare for that quote unquote extra supply of soybean meal coming down in the future. So, okay, what do you want to do about everything that we've talked about in corn and soybeans? What do you want to do about it?
Well, I guess my marketing plan, I always try to keep them as simple as possible. I start talking too many strategies and I notice my phone lines just go dead here because I think I overwhelm people. So I'm keeping it very simple. Like now for corn, I just tell people we're just selling off the Deese board here. You know, you can decide whether you sell a carry, anything like that. But I'm selling from 474, which we've already hit that target, up to 525. That's a real narrow range for my normal forecast, but because of that old crop carryout that we've talked about being burdensome at $2.0 billion, that's why it's narrow. There's an elevated risk to the downside come this fall if we raise a trendline crop.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And on soybeans?
Soybeans, I'm a little bit more friendly because of what I mentioned in the earlier segment about, you know, yes, our old crop stocks are growing, but they're still fairly tight. And, you know, we don't know the acreage yet, the mix. I think corn acres increase, not bean acres. So I'm a 1240 to 1398. I kind of say that and hesitate already and go, wow, Dwayne, you really think it's going to get there, huh? Now, let me tell you how I adjust my marketing plans. Well, like last year for corn, if you get to the end of June and you've got, I don't know, half your orders are only filled or even less than half, would be my fear, you might have to make a drastic adjustment, either selling everything on the board or buying put options and keeping upside. Because I'm concerned if the crop conditions come out high and we've got the acres planted with the now moisture reserves that we've got, it might be tough to rally. So have a marketing plan in place. We're still early enough. I think you can keep those prices up there, but, and remember, the funds are horribly short. You know, they decide to get out, like we talked about earlier, this market is going to rally more than we think. But if it doesn't happen by June 30th, you got to make some drastic adjustments.
Okay. Okay. That makes sense. That makes sense. Have your price targets in place, but put some calendar adjustments on it and pay attention to where we're at on the calendar, because it does have an influence there. All right, let's talk about what's going on in this cattle trade. Volatility is back. And the way that the market was trading this morning, Dwayne, I thought, hey, here we go. Maybe we got a chance. And that chance was gone by the time we got to the closing bell.
Yeah. I did too, when a couple clients jumped on board with me. We thought it was maybe going to rally. Boy, did we have to duck out of those positions quickly. Yeah, it's just, it looked like we had pulled back far enough. The market was going to find some support. Because remember, cash cattle traded higher last week, right?
Yeah.
A little bit of a surprise to everyone. Packers still are struggling to find readily available cash cattle. And then, yep. You know, around noon, another article broke about, you know, bird flu and also the fear of, I don't think any spec traders really want to be long after the close now, because it seems like every week somewhere in there, we have some negative story in the afternoon, and then just market uncertainty, right? So market uncertainty usually equals a path of least resistance is lower. And that's, I think, what we've got going on here in the cattle market. We haven't found any more cattle. It's just a lot of uncertainty and a lot of fear right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I got to admit, I did not see the story that you're talking about that broke. What was that about? Was it about testing for H5N1 virus in beef?
No, actually, CDC has been basically the headline looks a lot worse than what the article is. The headline kind of talked about certain people are more susceptible to bird flu. And it's like, oh gosh, okay. You know, the first thing you think of is back in the COVID days, oh no, we got to keep grandma locked up again. But as you read the article, it talks about, you know, people working at these infected dairies. And I'm like, well, I think we all kind of assume that they're a little bit more at risk. And the article also talks about how they're following about a group of 100 people, you know, just seeing how they feel and everything. So, of course, a very vague article again, but that headline is what the L girls see.
Yeah.
And then they sell it off. And then the guys like me who bought it earlier in the day go, oh geez, I don't know what's going on, but I want out. And that increases the selling. That's literally how these markets work anymore.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you described it perfectly there, and the sensitivity of the cattle market to these H5N1 headlines that are coming it's pretty amazing that the market is as reactive to the headlines as it is, and I guess I wouldn't blame anybody for not wanting to hold a position on either side.
Right, exactly. So, and, you know, guys get, so trading's a lot of fun and they think they can corner the market and we want to trade it. But this is one of those where it's like, maybe not trading is a great idea. I like your point there, because it's tough. Now, funds are still a little bit long in the cattle market, and maybe they're deciding to take some of this length off for now. You know, them actually testing ground beef has got me nervous too, because I guess I'm a believer of, I think bird flu is kind of everywhere. ownership. I mean, I can't see how it would be in just dairy cows and not be in beef cows. Now, I don't want to scare anyone out there because I think eventually we find out it's everywhere. But guess what? Pasteurization of milk works and cooking ground beef works. And then if you properly do that, you're not really at risk. So I'm hoping we find that in a month or two and then we can move on. But yeah, the wishes of a Northeast South Dakota farm boy don't always happen in the market.
Dwayne, I sure enjoy the conversation, man. Thank you. Thank you so much. Be safe this spring.
Will do. Thanks for having me, Chip.
You bet. Dwayne Bussey, Bolt Marketing. Davis and I will be right back.
From powering irrigation engines to warming buildings, propane has always been a part of American farm life. Now, you can be a part of propane's future and save money at the same time. The Propane Farm Incentive Program is a research initiative that provides farmers up to $5,000 towards the purchase of new propane-powered equipment. In exchange, participants share performance data to make tomorrow's ag operations more cost-effective, more efficient, and more environmentally friendly with propane. Getting started is simple. Visit propane.com/farmincentive to see if you're eligible.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
If the world is your oyster, we've got pearls of wisdom on AgriTalk.
So I don't know where they're coming from, Chip.
Comes in like a polar bear and goes out like a walrus. Or take the case of Honduras, where March comes in like a lamb and goes out like a salt marsh harvest mouse. Now let's compare this to the Maldive Islands, where March comes in like a wildebeest and goes out like an ant. A tiny little ant about this big.
So, yeah, happy New March Day, everyone.
New March Day.
Yeah. So did you not get any May baskets then? Is that?
I got zero.
You got
zero
none.
No. I think, you know, by the time they hit like 25, the kids, I think the neighbor lady decided that was probably enough.
See, because I have a calendar. The Federal Reserve actually put out a new normal calendar. And right now, we're at March 1st, and we're going to have 4 to 5 interest rate decreases for the remainder of the year. They're right here in the calendar.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen.
No?
I don't think that's going to happen. You know, back on March 1st, we may have been talking about that, though. You're right.
We were. Yeah.
Yeah.
I guarantee it.
Yeah.
Well, okay, and so, Bubba, the Fed really isn't in a hurry to push interest rates toward 2%. Did I hear that right?
Yeah.
So what, a wait and see approach and just keep sort of talking in circles and hope that fixes it?
They don't know. I'm gonna take kind of a Bubba's attitude here, okay?
Well, sure. Yeah.
They don't know. They absolutely do not know. And all they are doing, they are doing is treading water and saying things that makes it sound like they've actually got any control over anything that is happening right now.
Mm-hmm.
When in reality, they're just sitting back and watching, and whatever the cash interest rate markets do is what will direct future Fed action. That's the bottom line. I don't see any other way around it for them. Now, unless the Fed decides to force the issue by taking an especially hawkish or dovish approach to actual monetary policy. And if they try to get out in front of the cash market. So if they decide that, doggone it, this inflation is just too sticky, the economy is, in the words of Powell, not doing too bad. If that continues, and there's no indication that that the inflation rate is going to break down from that 3.3 to 3.5% range and head towards 2%. The Fed may decide, you know what, it's time that we're going to have to force the issue here. And that would suggest an interest rate increase. Since last fall, I've been saying, I'll bet there's an interest rate increase before there's an interest rate cut. And I still think that's the direction we're headed.
Well, I don't know. Maybe this is getting too broad. Maybe this isn't the platform for this. Man, it's about the end games. Tell me what your end game is and how you're going to get there and why I want to be there. That gives me the chance to buy in and say, you know what? Yes, I'm in on this. What's the end game with Russia, Ukraine? What's the end game with world trade? What's the end game with the Fed? It just seems like there's no end game, and we're just kind of saying words to make the lack of an end game seem okay. Like, well, oh no, I have fun words for you and encouraging things to say. I'm not going to do anything. It's a very frustrating time to be in right now.
See, the end game isn't sexy. The end game is oatmeal. The end game is porridge.
Mm-hmm.
The end game is a tasteless mush of 2% inflation, 2.5 to 3% growth, and we all go marching forward without any spice, without any flavor, without any uncertainty into the future. And the Fed and doing everything that they can to maintain a steady diet of oatmeal and porridge to keep a Goldilocks economy alive.
They've been eating their own breakfast for too long, bro.
That may be. They need to put a little cayenne pepper.
A little cayenne pepper.
Cayenne.
Perhaps a little yogurt.
And here's the other thing. Here's the other thing. And you and I have talked about this. And every time that we don't, we get I get messages that you need to talk about this more.
Okay.
And so, I mean, we got to come right out and say it. The other thing that the Fed is battling with this too sticky inflation rate is a spend happy Congress, a spend happy administration. You know, the Biden administration talks about how they're reducing spending. Well, no, you're not. You may be spending less than what we did at the height of the pandemic, but if you go to pre-pandemic spending levels, you're $3 trillion heavy. $3 trillion heavy. If you're wondering why prices for consumer goods are going up, just look at the money supply. Look at the amount of money that you are dumping into the economy. And that is your answer on why inflation is sticky. And that is your answer as to why the Fed is saying, I don't know what to do. If you counter it too aggressively, are you taking a step against the boss? I don't know.
Well, maybe that wouldn't be such a bad thing.
No, I don't think it would be at all.
Let's muddy the waters a little bit.
National Weather Service 6 to 10 day outlook May 7th through the 11th. Above normal temperatures expected southeast Minnesota, all of Iowa, southeast Nebraska, and points to the east and south of that. Near normal temperatures up in the northwest production areas. Above normal precipitation is also expected across the Corn Belt. Thank you so much for listening today. You got to come back tomorrow morning. Conversation with Jim Wiesmeyer about the Farm Bill. And we'll talk GREET decisions with Iowa Corn Growers President Jolene Risen here on AgriTalk.